And we are back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We all have chins, but do you know why we have chins? It turns out the debate over why humans have chins and other species don't has been going on for decades. Tomorrow on this program, we'll get the latest on the great chin debate from the University of Iowa. Anthropologist Bob Franciscus will be on our program, on our NewsBuzz edition of this program. Today, we're continuing with hazardous things we may, or non-helpful things we may put in our mouths. Last half hour, we were talking about public safety, health safety, in terms of inspections of restaurants and grocery stores in Iowa. We want to continue with public health in this half hour. Do you take dietary supplements? Most adults do. You'll want to pay attention to the next 20 minutes as we discuss what's actually in them and to what degree we think they're beneficial to our health. Also, a recent investigation into popular herbal supplements found only about one-fifth of them actually had DNA from the plants advertised on the labels. No doubt, this is a thriving business sector. The Nutritional Supplement Group, more broadly known as vitamins, minerals, supplements, is one of the fastest-growing industries in the world. Nutritional supplements alone racked up about $32 billion in revenue back in 2012, the number projected to top $60 billion by 2021, according to the Nutritional Business Journal. Joining me to shed some light on these widely used health products, joining us by phone, Dr. Suzanne Bartlett, physician and director of the Integrative Medicine Center at Mercy Hospital in Cedar Rapids. Dr. Bartlett, welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks.
Hi. In our Iowa City studio, Morgan Saylor, clinical assistant professor at the University of Iowa College of Pharmacy. Morgan is also on the faculty with the Iowa Lutheran Hospital Family Medicine Residency Program in Des Moines. Morgan, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
First, a few details on this investigation to then get your reactions to this shocking news. Numerous store brand supplements aren't what their labels claim them to be, according to this ongoing investigation. The investigation led by the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman. It focused on a wide variety of herbal supplements from four major retailers, GNC, Target, Walmart, Walgreens. They determined that only 21% of the products, a fifth of the products, actually had the DNA from the plants advertised on the labels. So these are supplements including echinacea, ginseng, St. John's wort, garlic, ginkgo, saw palmetto. They were contaminated with substances. Yeah, you have to ask, if they're not what they say they are, what are they? Well, substances including rice, beans, pine, citrus, asparagus, wheat, house plants, wild carrots. This is what you're buying and perhaps have been consuming for years. Possibly, in many cases, unlisted contaminants were the only plant material found in the sample products. The retailer with the poorest showing was Walmart. Only 4% of the products. 4% of the products tested showed DNA from the plants listed on the labels. Now, the New York Attorney General's office has issued a cease and desist letter to retailers telling them to stop the sales of these products. Dr. Bartlett, let me get your reaction. How do you think something like this was allowed to happen? We just assume there's the label. It says what it is, and it isn't.
That's right. We do assume. And this all started with a New York Times article back in 2013 where a Canadian research organization who actually started the testing, the DNA barcoding, pointed out that they were finding such contaminated supplements where there really was very little of the active ingredient. And so then the New York Attorney General took it upon himself to investigate further. And yes, unfortunately, the taking of the supplements off the shelf really only pertains to New York also. Mm. So that's an interesting thing to be aware
of. So those products are still at Walmarts and other GNCs, Targets?
They can be.
Here in Iowa.
They are across the country. And the articles don't list the brands that were found to be mislabeled. So that makes it even more confusing. But your question as to how this could happen is just that supplements are an essentially unregulated industry in the United States.
But we have to, I mean, there's some consumer protection that has to be there, don't we? We want to say this is not harmful, or is that really the only hurdle these have to pass through or pass over, is that it does no harm?
Unfortunately, they don't actually have to pass any hurdles at all. That's where the confusing thing comes into play. So companies that manufacture and sell supplements are held to the standard that they're supposed to purport that their supplements are safe and do what they say they're doing. Mm-hmm. The FDA has no legal authority. They have the legal authority, but they don't go around and test supplements to determine whether or not they are what they say they are. So the only way this is ever brought to light is if some outside agency decides to go ahead and test these supplements and see if they are what they say they are, and then brings it to the attention of the FDA. Then the FDA is obligated to pursue, investigate, and then take action if it is found to be true that the supplements don't contain what they said they contain.
Well, buyer beware when it comes
exactly.
to supplements. That is a big lesson here. Morgan Saylor, clinical assistant professor at the University of Iowa College of Pharmacy. Were you surprised that a fifth of these, as little as 4% of these supplements, when we're talking about Walmart, actually contained the plants that were advertised on the labels?
I think knowing the history of what Dr. Bartlett was talking about how supplements aren't really regulated, that they don't have to make any claims for statements about, you know, how efficacious or safe they are, it wasn't surprising to me that there are lots of supplements out there that do not have the ingredients they have, kind of random plant components. But what was surprising to me is actually that it was so little, like that 4% or 20%. I mean, I in my head, I think I always had in mind it was in the maybe 40, 50%. To kind of average out where some were, you know, above maybe what it said, a lot were below what the actual ingredients were. So it was a little surprising to me that it was quite that low.
You're at the College of Pharmacy. Tell us, what are we talking about in supplements? Do they break up into broad categories? This specific investigation was about herbal supplements. This is so supposedly plant-based supplements, but we talk about supplements, vitamins are supplements. That's not included here.
The way vitamins and supplements, a lot of them are not regulated really the same way. So you could find similar settings if you were to test your typical vitamins that you find on the shelf. Now, the problem is, I mean, there's been other studies too, like with this one where they're finding people with food allergies are struggling with supplements because they have wheat and rice and things that to fill in basically outside of the ingredients. So it gets that same question of, I think we tend to group vitamins separately, but I don't know that we really can throw it into a separate category than with the other supplements.
Dr. Bartlett, you're a physician. You're director of the Integrative Medicine Center at Mercy Hospital in Cedar Rapids. I understand that Integrative Medicine Department was formed in August of 2013. Do you use supplements, prescribe them, suggest them to the patients there regularly?
Well, I have training in the use of supplements through my fellowship, which was through the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. So that was a large part of what we studied in my training, both for dietary and herbal or botanical supplements. So there are times when I think supplements can be extremely beneficial, both dietary and or botanical supplements or herbal supplements. And I use that term fairly interchangeably. But again, I always talk with patients about the fact that ideally we would be deriving all of these nutrients from food sources and not trying to just get our nutrients from supplements. But in certain cases, there are supplements that can be helpful for various different conditions or various different deficiencies. So there are times that I recommend supplements, and there are times that I say, well, maybe we can just try to get this through our lifestyle, through our diet, instead of in supplement form.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the efficacy question here. Of course, we want to make sure we're buying what's on the label. That's one question.
Right.
But whether they're effective or not, Morgan Saylor, what can you tell us about that? Which of these supplements, I named a few of them there at the outset, are proven effective? And of course, which ones are ones that, well, you just hope they don't harm you?
I think it's difficult to have. We constantly have this discussion with patients where they will, you know, see on Dr. Oz, or they'll see things that they saw read on the, you know, internet or on the nightly news about drugs and or these supplements and what it said it worked for this or whatever ailment. When you really look at the data, most of these that you listed previously have very small studies, and they're usually in patients maybe that are a little healthier than the patients coming in to ask us questions about it. And so you really have to do pros and cons of what are their other disease states, what are their other medications, you know, and we worry about possible interactions. A lot of the ones that you discussed, I do warfarin management in my clinic. So that's a drug that is very sensitive to other drugs and
has a blood thinner.
Yes, it's a blood thinner. So basically, most of the drugs you listed there, I would not want any of my patients to take because it's very unclear about, does it thin your blood more? Does it cause additional bleeding? So, you know, there's a huge section of the supplements where if you look up the information on it, because they don't really know, you just don't give it because of the risk of bleeding is so high. So
And then that's one of the first questions you have at an appointment is what are the medicines and supplements you may be taking? And you may not think a supplement is worth mentioning, but it really is precisely because of that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think there are some products out there that have a lot more data, a lot broader patient base that they've studied it in and have good information. But I think with the population that I see most commonly looking for supplements, it's kind of I pull back a little bit and really want to discuss the pros and cons with them about the situation.
I want to ask you this, Dr. Bartlett, but Morgan, first of all, do you have patients that are, would you say, overly convinced that supplements are the way to go, that really they have no foundation for it, but they're putting their faith in it?
Yeah, a lot of it is, you know, the whole view that it's natural, that it's, you know, it's safer for me than these toxins that are put in the medications that we give them. And so it's sometimes hard to change that mind, or they have friends that were on it, you know, so you're kind of doing that battle of everyone outside of their who's taking care of them is giving them feedback. And some supplements and dietary aids are great, and you know, iron supplementation, you know, often vitamin D is very commonly used and effective, but we really, it's hard to, you have to kind of know where they're coming from in order to decide how you're going to discuss it with them, or maybe it's not an issue with their current medicine. So it's really a little bit of a communication issue that we just have to kind of walk through and make sure we're aware and kind of figure out the reason that they like the supplements. Is it because they had a bad reaction to a medication, or is it just what they've heard and what they're comfortable with? And so you can kind of talk to them about the pros and cons of their individual regimen.
Dr. Bartlett, what supplements will you advise patients to take under certain conditions?
Well, I talk a lot about supplements with a lot of patients. And I think as long as you're coming from a place where you have some background in understanding how they interact with other medications, which I do, and whether or not they're safe or effective or what the studies are, it can be a good dialogue to have with patients. I absolutely, there is a general overarching feeling that supplements are safe. You can buy them in any drugstore, so therefore they're safe. And supplements over the counter does not always equal benign. And that's something that I would absolutely agree with Morgan on. But as far as patients, as ones that I would recommend, I talk a lot about vitamin D. I talk a lot about fish oil. But that being said, right now we think those are very good ideas. However, there's a big study coming out yet this year called the Vital Study, which is looking at patients over several years, 20,000 patients in the United States, looking at the outcomes of heart disease, cancer, and stroke with the use of vitamin D and fish oil in supplement form. So those are very important endpoints for us to know about, and it will be very interesting to see if, in supplement form, does vitamin D help to prevent those risks? Does fish oil in supplement form help to prevent those risks? We already know that fish is good. Omega-3s are important, but that doesn't necessarily mean that in supplement form we get the exact same benefit. So studies like that are so important. Unfortunately, more and more research is being done into supplements and other complementary and alternative treatments right now.
Let's take fish oil, for instance. Can you go to find any place on any shelf something that says fish oil, or do you have to be choosy about what else you find on the label?
You can definitely go to any shelf and choose fish oil, but I would definitely not recommend that. So certain brands are heavily contaminated with mercury and other contaminants. Certain brands are not responsibly fished or farmed, and those are important things to consider given our ecosystems and fishing and overfishing and things like that. So I do think it's very important to know where your fish oil is coming from and know what's in it. So I think it's important to learn about brands you can trust and finding providers who you can trust. So I've done quite a bit of research into various brands of supplements. When I recommend a supplement, I will go to the study or studies. And again, yes, as Morgan said, they can be small studies. And so we have to take that into the consideration of the whole thing. But I'll go to those studies and find what plant part, what standardized extract, what dose in the study did find it to be helpful. And then I'll look for a brand that contains only that, and that's what I'll recommend. I also have access to data banks that can help determine that review supplements and look to see whether they're contaminated, whether they have efficacy, things like that. And so at least I feel that I have a lot of resources that I can use before I would recommend a supplement to a patient.
Right. This seems like it's putting a lot of weight, a lot of responsibility, we said buyer beware, on the shoulders of the consumers. And then, and in a way, I have the reaction like this shouldn't be that way.
Right.
That our laws should do better in for one, making sure that what's in the bottle or the jar or whatever it is actually what it is. And two, not leaving it up to some company to tell us in a slogan what it can or might do. Morgan Saylor. I mean, yeah. Do we need different laws, or do we just have to deal with the ones we have?
I when I was thinking about this earlier, I think it's interesting. A lot of the demands have been that the FDA should come in and try and, you know, regulate this. But as you described, it's a $1 billion industry. And I try and imagine the logistics of them trying to regulate this. And the only way that I imagine it is there will be 3 bottles of supplements on the shelf of every Walmart in the country. So it's an interesting thing. I think it will take years for them to actually start. And it may just start with something small, as in a little bit more regulation than they have now. And whether that's they have to prove that a certain percentage of their supplements have what they say is in it, that the other ingredients are all listed. You know, there's a lot of, if you look at the supplements, there's proprietary blends written in that you can't. I mean, they don't have to reveal what that means, and that could be lactose blend or something that is, you know, unnecessary ingredients.
As you pointed out, Dr. Bartlett, this only concerns New York, this investigation, the New York Attorney General. Are we getting any repercussions here, the other states here in Iowa? They've pulled those things from the shelves of the Targets and Walmarts, those products. I guess it's not deemed necessary to do that here. Is there any reaction here?
I haven't heard, honestly, that there is reaction. It's very hard to get to the bottom of this because, again, the articles don't mention the brand, so it's hard to go to those stores and find out if they've been pulled off the shelves. Some of those companies have, on their own accord, taken the supplements off of their shelves in other states. Some, such as Target, refused to comment in the New York Times articles. So, you know, it's hard to know. It's very hard for us to know what to trust and who to trust. So I do my own research for my patients. I've even been that person who refuses to recommend a proprietary blend. You know, I have drug reps contacting me too, recommending, trying to get me to support their supplements. And I've been known to say, well, I'm not going to endorse your supplement unless you tell me exactly what's in your proprietary blend. And lo and behold, I have been given secret recipes to proprietary blends. So I also was told I was only the second person to insist on that information. So I think we have to get a lot more savvy and pushy and you know, demand information.
You've told us some supplements that may have some benefits. We're waiting on the science to prove that. Vitamin D, fish oil, for instance. Some are just doing nothing for us. Maybe placebo effect, depending on the person. Are there supplements out there which you would, under no conditions, recommend, Dr. Bartlett? Just stay away from them.
Wow. Off the top of my head, it's hard to know. You know, every week, patients will contact me and ask me about supplements that I've never heard of. And so I will go to these databases that I told you I have access to, and I'll research and try to find out what they are and what the evidence is. And it's actually unbelievable to me the number of supplements. And that also goes for dietary, diet plans and protein powders and shakes and things like that. The number of these that are brought to my attention on a weekly basis, and when I actually go to these websites and resources and find what's in them, whether they're recommended or not, most of the time there really is very little evidence to support their use. The companies themselves will tout evidence and research, but those are studies done by the companies themselves. They're not placebo controlled. They're not replicated. They're tiny studies. And so very very, very biased research that these companies are touting. So on a regular basis, I'm constantly saying, nope, I don't see any benefit to that particular supplement. But, I guess I could say once a patient asked me if venous flytrap in capsule form would be helpful for cancer. And upon researching, I found that no, there is really no viable research to support the use of that. So I don't think, there you've heard probably about the forgot what it was called, the Cambogia. What was it called?
Garcinia Cambogia.
Yeah, Garcinia Cambogia. Mm-hmm. You may have heard about that big thing, and that really has not been found to be helpful for weight loss, but thousands of people spent money on that for weight loss, and it was touted on Dr. Oz and things like that. So just never know.
Finish up for us, Morgan Saylor of the University of Iowa College of Pharmacy. What do you see going forward? What's in the future here?
I mean, I think before, like we were talking about, we, estimated that they weren't really included, like didn't have the full amount maybe that it always said, but it was kind of surprising maybe that few had it. So I think it gets both us that provide care to patients that are on supplements and, working in retail pharmacies and out there just kind of second guessing that maybe before we'd be like, well, it shouldn't hurt them. So it wouldn't be that big of a deal if they want to take
it. Is that
the
way at the College of Pharmacy? Is that how you're educating students about supplements?
Not always. I think it's hard to include. As you know, if you walk a Walgreens or whatever, there's so many. It's hard to include every single one. So I think they get habits of what they see, what they hear from patients. And so if it's not toxic, they don't always do what we should. So it's something we have to work on.
A lot of questions, a few answers we have here. It's the nature of this field. Thank you for giving us some insights into it. Morgan Saylor, clinical assistant professor at the University of Iowa College of Pharmacy. Dr. Suzanne Bartlett, physician and director of the Integrative Medicine Center at Mercy Hospital in Cedar Rapids. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Also thanks to Julia Davis. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.